the Month people.
Hey, Marvel by the Month. Love that podcast. My favorite podcast. Everyone should go and support them on Patreon.
I have never listened to the podcast.
You really should. It's really good.
I was on Instagram. I don't know why. You know how like when you're talking to someone about something and then you get on Instagram and all of a sudden there's like ads for them and you're like, wait a minute. Is that thing in my pocket listening to me? I wasn't talking about comics. I don't know if I had looked something up like in a Google search and then my Instagram was like, hey, he just looked up comics. So their Threadless shop came up and I bought a t-shirt from them that says, make mine monster. And it's got all Marvel heads from like Satana and Man Thing, like all the cool like 70s monster characters that I love. And I thought, why don't we do that? Why don't we sell Cactus t-shirts and Disco Dracula Graviton t-shirts and Thor up to his nose in lava t-shirts or coffee mugs or stickers or something?
I would buy a Cactus t-shirt in a second.
So I did not remember what else was on their shop. I feel like it's close to the infringement of trademark stuff, and I'm not sure how close you can walk that line without getting in trouble for it. So I'm cautious about trying to do the t-shirts that we would want to do and make them funny.
If there's any lawyers listening.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I have to mess with the artwork to make it just slightly not exactly copyright stuff. I don't know. Something to play around with. You know, if anyone's interested, I think we've got like 4 or 5 listeners now, so we could sling a t-shirt out to somebody. That'd be nice.
A few more than that, but yeah.
You know, thoughts and prayers. No, not thoughts and prayers. Thoughts, ideas, concepts, anything anybody wants to see, you know.
I mean, I'll take prayers to anyone people want to pray to. I'm not picky.
I would totally roll with a Disco Dracula coffee mug. That one panel of Graviton where he's like leaning back, he's got his feet up on his desk. Yeah. Good stuff. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about the Avengers 1998 annual.
Too bad. Never mind. I'm leaving. Thanks.
1998 was the year where every annual was this character and this character, or yes, this team and this team.
You'll be excited to know, since I'm such a Machine Man fan, that Machine Man had an annual in 98, and it was the Machine Man Bastion 98 annual.
Wow. What a weird pairing. Do they work together, or is it Machine Man versus?
I didn't read it. I have it. I bought it when I went on my string of I have to buy everything that Machine Man was ever in. And I didn't read it because I don't even remember who Bastion is. Is it an X-Men character?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But I thought he was a villain.
Oh, wait. Well, Machine Man. So here are weird things that I know about Machine Man. When he had died, well, quote unquote, died at one point, and he came back, he got infected with something from a Sentinel, and it turned him into basically a version of Sentinel. So he was kind of an X-Men villain for a little while. So that would make sense.
Interesting.
My Machine Man would be with Bastion then. So anyway, we got the Avengers Squadron Supreme annual, right?
Yeah, and if you, it's clearly an homage to the old Justice League, yeah, Justice Society storylines, because you open the front page, it's called To Challenge a Champion, and on the left-hand side, we have the headshots of all the Avengers.
The roll call. Yeah,
the roll call. On the right-hand side, we have all the Squadron Supreme. This is plotted by Kurt Busiek, scripted by Kurt Busiek and Len Kaminski. We haven't seen Len Kaminski since, I think, the Avengers go to fight Grim Reaper in the Black Void issues with the six-fingered hand, or not the six-fingered hand, but the giant hand that had a mouth in the middle.
Yes.
I think that's the last time Len Kaminski did work here. Penciled by Carlos Pacheco, inked by Matt Banning, who they credit as Bat.
When you were first trying to explain the last time we saw Len Kaminski, and you said back when the Avengers go into, I thought you were just going to say we saw him back in Avengers Go, and I'm thinking, was there an Avengers anime title? Because that's what that sounds like.
It would be amazing. So inked by Bat with Vince Russell, Bob Wiasek, Al Vey, and Paul Neary. Lettered by Richard Starkings and Comicraft and Dave Lanfear and colored by Tom Smith. We've never seen Carlos Pacheco doing Avengers work before.
Okay.
Carlos Pacheco, born November 14th, 1961 in San Roque, Spain. He started doing European comics, which made sense. He was in Europe. And eventually got work in Marvel UK comics, not just for British people anymore. That got him noticed in America, and his work came out in American comics. He's known for the comic Aerosmith, which he co-created and did with Kurt Busiek.
Yeah. Good stuff.
He also had runs on Fantastic Four and X-Men and a ton of limited series and short runs. We're going to see him back again with the Avengers. He's doing a couple of miniseries here. Sadly, he died on November 9th in 2022 of ALS.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Pacheco, thoughts?
I have nothing specific, no.
We're going to be seeing a lot more of him. I find his artwork to be just fine.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't dislike it at all. Avengers Mansion, where Justice is still very excited to be an Avenger. Firestar, not as much. She was hoping to take a break from superheroics so they could spend time together, and whoops, they're late for a training session.
Can we talk about the room that they're standing in?
Yes, I was hoping to.
What is this? In the foreground there, those are the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver marionettes from, oh geez, I don't remember the numbers, but that was a Magneto storyline. Is that when, what's his name, was doing the artwork?
That was back when we were trying to figure out who their parents were.
Yeah.
And was it Django Maximoff who kind of went crazy and came over here and made these marionettes of them?
I believe so, yeah. It was a dude, he was wearing a hat, right?
Yeah.
Like hat and coat, and he was showing up like in the background of
yes.
the title. Yeah.
And of course, you've got the Porcupine's armor, which Captain America inherited.
Right, but would it be that Porcupine armor?
That's the one that he got when Alex Gentry died.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. I was like, why would they have the Porcupine armor? Wouldn't they have the original, like the really round, weird looking Porcupine guy?
I believe
that. Is that the Norn? Is that the cask of,
I think that's
right there in the foreground?
Yeah, the what's his name just brought. And of course, we have Ultron heads in the background. A whole display case of Ultron heads.
I didn't even see those. And then all these little like collectible statues. Are they playing Hero Clicks here? Like,
that would be great. It is a cool little room. I would like to actually see more of it.
I don't understand why there's big portraits of the founding members, and then on a table right in front of it, there's little gold statues of all the founding members.
I also don't understand, who is this for?
Yeah, are they taking tours?
Because, yeah, the Avengers Mansion has never been a public building, so is this just for the various... I mean...
And if they are doing tours, they probably shouldn't have that cask of the Endless Winter or whatever in there. That's a bad idea.
Or supervillain armor that anybody could steal and use to create.
This should be in a sub-basement somewhere.
This is great for Justice and Firestar, but how many new members do they have that they have to have this little museum that they can poke around in?
This is like the orientation room.
Yeah. So we go to join Thor, Scarlet Witch, Captain America, Iron Man, Swordsman, Magdalene, and Hawkeye in the training room where they have 15 seconds to shut down the room. I love that. This is, again, Kapusik. I love that he brought Magdalene and Swordsman in for this. What else have they got to do? They might as well hang out with the Avengers. Cap wants the Scarlet Witch to summon Wonder Man, but she says it doesn't work in training sessions.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, because we've seen it work when she's just lonely.
When she's just standing there, yeah.
Suddenly, the training drones are destroyed because Justice and Firestar have arrived and Justice telekinetically destroyed them all. Cap says that's impressive, but it wasn't the point. They were supposed to be working on evasion and stopping the drones without destroying them.
That's what happens when you show up late.
It
you weren't
sure
there
is.
For the instructions.
We've all been there, right? Vision shows up and says Justice didn't change the results of the test that much. It was only a 15-second exercise, and it had run 12 seconds before he interfered.
Shut up, Vision.
Who does a 15-second training exercise? That's insane.
It's like a 100-yard dash.
Ugh. Cap says he'll look at the scores, but first he invites Swordsman and Magdalene to become the new reserves to take the places of Justice and Firestar since they're now active because they've lost Ms. Marvel. Oh, no, I'm sorry, they've lost Warbird, and who else have they lost?
Nobody yet.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's threw off the numbers already.
Yeah. They thank him for the offer, but say being around the Avengers is difficult because they're not the Avengers of their world, and they're not sure what to do just yet.
I guess you could argue that they don't have the Vision out in the field, so they
can't. Oh, my gosh, you're right. Yeah. Duh. That makes sense.
He's still on the team, though.
Cap says he understands and Hawkeye's ready for the next exercise, which he created himself, when suddenly an image of Moonglow of the Squadron Supreme appears and asks for their help before vanishing again. Vision files a flight plan for the team to go to Project Pegasus, and they're soon on their way. On the way, Hawkeye fills the newbies in on how the Squadron Supreme are heroes, all but heroes that are constantly being mind-controlled. However, as the Avengers discuss this, their momentum is suddenly stopped by Dr. Spectrum, who catches the Quinjet with his power prism. The Avengers bail out of the Quinjet, but Hyperion warns them not to interfere. The teams face off, but then Moonglow appears and says she asked the Avengers for help. Hearing that they were invited, the squadron stands down and welcomes them to Project Pegasus.
What a bunch of weirdos.
It is kind of... I mean, it's...
Like, Hyperion looks, like, legit angry.
Yes.
And then he's just like, oh, yeah, never mind. Sorry.
Well, I mean, it is kind of funny in a way because he's like, wait, you invited them? Oh, okay. And he like throws the huge boulder he's got over his shoulder. And I'm like,
does it overreact much?
But at the same time, there's already tension between the teams.
Was there? I thought they alleviated it when they released them from their mind control again.
There was still some tension then. I feel like the Squadron Supreme always feels some tension around the Avengers because they have been mind controlled to fight them like 3 times.
Yeah.
So it's
they have some inferiority complex now.
I feel like you probably are going to get a complex of some kind. Inside the project, Power Princess briefs the Avengers, telling them they were recently again subjected to an attempt at mental domination. They had precautions to make sure it didn't take this time, but that's when Moonglow called the Avengers just in case it did take. It's about time you guys had precautions again. Right? I feel like you get mind controlled once, you probably put precautions in so it doesn't keep happening.
It's like when the president gives a State of the Union, there's one member of the cabinet that's like kept somewhere else. They just have to keep someone just in case to push the panic button.
Hyperion explains that their team may lack a natural immunity to mind control since every time it's happened, it's been something from the Avengers universe that controlled them.
It's like Superman with the yellow sun and the...
Yeah. In any case, the two teams agree to work together. They've pinpointed the source of the mind control to Sausalito, and soon a Quinjet and a Project Pegasus craft are flying there.
Freaking Sausalito.
The Project Pegasus craft is...
weird?
Ugly.
It's really goofy looking. It's like they showed a kid a picture of a Quinjet and told him to draw it.
That's very much what it is. The two teams land and disembark, but can't find anything in first until they are accosted by Imus Champion. Hawkeye fills the team in on who he is and tells him he used the Corruptor on the squadron to get the contents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. spacecraft. What do you remember of Imus Champion? Favorite villain? Best of all time? So glad to have him back?
I remember he's 9 feet tall.
Yeah, he's supposed to be really tall. He showed up
and... he's like the fifth richest man in the world, which is weird that we'd like never hear about him more often or...
He showed up in Avengers 109. Hawkeye had quit the team, and he convinced Hawkeye to come teach him archery.
Right, because it was like the one thing he didn't already know how to do. Because he was awesome at everything. He's the best.
And he apparently was in a Marvel Comics Presents, which I had no idea about.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
But he is such a minor villain.
Oh, like, wait, this is like the recent Marvel Comics Presents. I was thinking of Marvel Presents, the old series from the 70s. Sure, never mind. I see. There's a footnote. Marvel Comics Presents 126.
I wouldn't have known that if there wasn't a footnote, because I did not read that much of Marvel Comics Presents. It was a series I did not care for.
That was a series that had like a Wolverine storyline, right? That went, it was like continuous, and then they had all these other extra little bits.
Well, it was
kind of like the solo Avengers thing.
The series went for like 150 issues.
Yeah.
It didn't always have a Wolverine storyline, but it is where Weapon X, that storyline by Barry Windsor Smith, that's where that storyline was serialized. The one that told us, quote unquote, Wolverine's origin.
Okay.
But at times it usually had one main story that would go seven or eight issues at a time.
Okay, right.
And then multiple backup stories, 3 backup stories. Some of them were of varying length.
Yeah, and not related to the main story.
No, not related to anything.
Here's what Dazzler did this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. The problem with that book is the problem with any anthology, which is, first of all, it's hard to tell a story when you're doing it in 4-page chapters over 8 months. Though I think it might have been bi-weekly or bi-monthly. But the other problem being that it's...
It could be bi-weekly or bi-monthly. It could be the same thing. Every 2 weeks or twice a month.
The other problem is, you know, you would get things like Barry Windsor Smith on Weapon X, but then you'd get, you know...
I'm a champion.
Yeah, you'd get creators you'd never heard of doing stories about characters you didn't care about.
Yeah, yeah. So you're spending however much money and you're skipping half the comic.
Yeah, because who cares?
Yeah.
It's hard to get 4 stories and you want to read them all. Anywho... Imus Champion says that he wants to fight and beat the Avengers and the Squadron. Why?
Exactly.
To incentivize the heroes, he explains that his tower in the distance is connected to bombs in 20 major U.S. cities, which, when triggered, will explode in nerve gas that will kill everyone within 200 miles. That's a lot of miles. He's going to walk to the tower and trigger the bomb. They just need to stop him. But if they try to leave the area, the bombs will explode prematurely. Then he disappears. This is the worst. I just want to have a big fight. So I'm just going to have a big fight that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no real reason for Champion to do this.
Let me ask you, Because I don't remember, I'm looking at it now and I don't see it. Did he tell them that they had to split up into teams of two people?
No, that's their decision.
Yeah, that's Cap saying, I think it's best if we split up into teams so we can cover more area to try to find him. Which is a miracle because every two-person team finds him immediately.
Yeah, he's...
I don't know why like 30 of them couldn't have just gone after him.
Exactly. Fight him as a group. But yes, Cap says, I think we'd best split up into teams and fan out. We'll cover more ground that way. You don't need to cover ground. You can see the tower. It's in the distance. Yeah. You all know where you're going.
Yeah. I mean, you could split up into maybe two teams, the flying people and the non-flying people.
So annoying. But in any case, who doesn't love a team, a team split up? We start with Hawkeye and Haywire. Haywire is like a young Hawkeye and is driving the current Hawkeye insane. Champion shows up, hits Haywire with an eternal brain mine so he can't do anything but spit out Tanglewire, and then traps Hawkeye in a plastic bubble with him.
With Tanglewire filling up the bubble, which seems bad.
Yeah, it seems like Hawkeye will be dead soon. The eternal brain mine is obviously something from the Eternals. I don't know where that... Does he say where the bubble comes from?
No,
he does not. It's not familiar to me. It is a... Let's be clear. All of these fights are very quick. If you think, oh, John's just skipping through them, I am not.
The weird thing is that he tells Hawkeye that he should recognize the eternal brain mine. Was that used in the last appearance of Champion? I don't remember.
It wasn't used in... It wasn't that. I mean, most of his stuff is, you know, he's borrowing things from all corners of the Marvel Universe.
Well, sure.
But I don't know why he thinks that Hawkeye's ever dealt with an eternal brain mine.
Perhaps you may recognize this one, Hawkeye.
Well, perhaps he would.
Perhaps he would not.
Next, we have Scarlet Witch and Moonglow, where Moonglow says she senses an affinity for magic in Wanda and encourages her to pursue it. Yeah, we've done that plot.
Yeah.
However, Champion attacks them with the Wand of Wotum.
Where do you get that from?
Well, I assume Wotum.
Doesn't Doctor Strange own that?
He did, but goodness knows. I don't know what's going on in his title, but right around now, who knows?
Did he give it to Jarvis to take care of?
It'd be great if he had the Cask of Ancient Winners or whatever. Yeah, he defeats them both, even when Scarlet Witch calls in Wonder Man. He knocks her out and Wonder Man disappears. Now we have Thor and Hyperion. They're discussing secret identities. If they should have them, and who... It's actually my favorite part of the issue is the two of them talking about whether or not secret identities are worth it.
This is an embarrassing fight.
Yeah. He uses... A champion attacks him. He uses gloves made for him by the wizard and uses those to knock out...
He knocks out Thor.
And he also uses the Egyptian god Seth's staff.
Yeah. But then he knocks out Thor and... When Hyperion tries to help Thor, he grabs Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how this works. Oh, I guess it never touched the ground. So he grabs it and it ends up flipping him over and he gets trapped under it. It's so stupid.
Yeah. The next group is Iron Man, Dr. Spectrum, and the Whizzer. They, of course, the Whizzer has a family. Dr. Spectrum doesn't, but the Whizzer has a wife and children. And, of course, he's been away from home for quite a while, and that's what they're talking about. This time, Champion has one of the Wizard's anti-gravity discs, a Zodiac Star Blaster, and an EMP.
What are they doing? What is Wizard doing? Is he on, like, some sort of child's toy that Dr. Spectrum made for him?
Looks to be.
And he's running around in circles, and it's spinning this thing?
But why?
Can't he just run?
Well, he could. I mean, if he wants to fly...
Or if they're both flying, can't they just carry him?
Yeah, why does he have to spin this thing?
That Dr. Spectrum made for him.
It looks like all it's going to do is make him dizzy.
Can't Dr. Spectrum just make some sort of rainbow hand and hold him?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
There's no reason to do it like this, and I'm not sure what purpose it serves.
So weird. And they don't explain it either. It just looks ridiculous.
But Champion's very excited that it's a threesome. a threesome. This should prove a refreshing change of pace. I mean, who amongst us has not said that at one point in time or another?
All the time.
But yeah, so, I mean, obviously, the Wizard's anti-gravity discs are from the Wizard.
Yes.
And the Zodiac Star Blaster is from the Zodiac.
I feel it's a bit of a cheat that he's used two things from the Wizard now.
I agree. Well, maybe the Wizard gave him a
discount.
A discount if he bought multiple things. That fight takes a little bit longer than some of the other fights. Then we have Firestar and Power Princess. I do like this discussion as well. Power Princess asked to be paired with Firestar because she could sense that Firestar was uncomfortable with her role and she hoped that she could help. And I like this because Power Princess is the Wonder Woman of the Squadron Supreme. And I like the idea that she would want to help this young woman. That's kind of what she does.
I feel bad that Squadron Supreme has lost their Trinity.
Yeah, there's no more Batman.
Nighthawks. I guess Dr. Spectrum's the new one. Green Lantern is a...
It basically telling her, you know, if you're in a... She's like, you know, Fester's like, I don't really want to be in this team, but Vance wants to be in this team, so I guess I am. And Power Princess is like, couples can make sacrifices for each other, but they both have to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
If you're making all the sacrifices, then that's not much of a couple.
I mean, look at Hank and Jan. Jan sacrificed her face.
Oh, my God.
Hank wasn't willing to sacrifice, so he got kicked off the team. Sacrifice his membership. I think of it the same way, though. Like, the conversation is kind of like how Wasp, like, originally didn't want to be a superhero, right? I know, it's funny.
I can't believe you said that.
Yes, you can. But Jan didn't originally want to be a superhero.
Yes.
So it's kind of parallel there.
Yeah, and then when she wanted to be a superhero, he didn't want to be a superhero. It was always one of them didn't want to be a superhero.
So as long as Justice doesn't start swinging at people, we'll be all right. Changing his identity every 3 months.
These two actually find a champion on their own, and they attack him, but he beats them, both of them, knocks out Power Princess, uses her shield to knock out Firestar. Then we have the last group, which is Captain America, Justice, Skylark, and Shape. Champion manages to take everyone down except for Cap, but when the two of them engage in hand-to-hand combat, Champion wins there as well, using some of the Porcupine's old armor. And when we say old armor, this is not the Porcupine armor we just saw at the beginning. This is his original armor when he had the ridiculous, you know, fat quills.
The one where he showed up to attack a fashion show?
Yes. Champion's like, I have won. So he heads to his tower to trigger the bombs. He feels bad about it, but hey, he told them what would happen. Gotta keep your word, gotta whatever. He wasn't an interesting villain in the 70s. He's not an interesting villain now. But when he goes to activate them, nothing happens because who is there but Dr. Henry Pym, who had snuck in some time ago. He was alerted by Firestar using her powers to deliver a message to him via the ants. He came, he disabled the mechanism that activated the bombs, and then traced the location of the bombs and alerted the authorities. Champion says that isn't fair, but the rest of the Avengers and the Squadron Supreme have now arrived, and Cap tells Champion to stuff it. The important thing is saving lives. Champion surrenders, and the authorities are called. Captain America praises Firestar and says they must be careful of even the villains that seem to be harmless weirdos and are out of their league. Because, yeah, who would ever think Champion would be that dangerous? The squadron isn't excited about going back to the project, but Iron Man has found an nth projector in Champion's inventory, and he thinks he can use that to send the squadron home. Which makes sense, because unknown to Iron Man, that's basically how they got here. The nth man came to their universe.
Oh my God, not that guy.
And was swallowing planets, and even when they convinced him not to do that, he's the one that shunted them to Earth. A few days later, after some tinkering, both teams gather with Magdalene and the Swordsman at Project Pegasus. Iron Man's going to use Magdalene's power to help keep the portal open and stable, and so the squadron says their goodbyes. But Haywire isn't leaving. With Inertia dead, he has no reason to go back to the squadron's world. He'd like to stay on this world and look around. The Avengers offer him a room at the mansion, but he says he wants to travel. Magdalene and the Swordsman say they're also going to go through the portal, not to the Squadron Supreme world, but they're going to try to find a world for themselves. A new home. And that's it. That's the end.
That's it.
So clearly, this is the weakest, I think, issue we've read in Volume 3.
It's kind of bad. It's hokey, like 60s comics hokey.
I mean, that could be what Busiek was going for.
You think he was like, oh, after an annual, these are so dumb. Why are we still doing these?
Maybe. But maybe he really wanted to do an homage to those kind of 60s, 70s things. I mean, clearly it looks like it.
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, he's, you know, cleaned the dry erase board a little bit. He's taken some people off of it.
Well, yeah, because we don't have to worry about Swordsman and Magdalene. We don't have to worry about the Squadron Supreme. We do have Haywire now, but who cares when I'm Haywire.
And he said he's not sticking around anyway. He's going to go up to the Pacific Northwest or something. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, I don't really have much to say about this annual. I didn't like I'm His Champion back in the 70s. No. I don't like him now. He's not interesting.
He's not.
There are so many better... I'm all for using obscure villains, but there are so many more interesting ones that could have been dragged out for something like this rather than him.
Also, I hate those guys that are like, I collected all this stuff. You don't know that I have it on me right now, so I'm going to challenge you to a fight, and then I'm going to pick you guys off with these things that you didn't know I had. It's so cheesy.
Well, we both know that there is only one collector in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
One person that collects things.
Sure.
And it's not I'm His Champion.
No. In fact, I'd like to see that showdown.
Right? Oh my God, if this annual had been I'm His Champion versus the Collector, it would be my favorite annual ever.
Like if it started out with the Collector like rummaging through his house going, where did I put that Wand of Watoom?
Yes. Would have been amazing. His house. He's in his garage.
Yeah. Going through moldy boxes. What the hell? But it's like the new weird Collector with like all those things sticking out of his head and he's all buff.
Oh God. Ugh. No. That Collector.
He's got like a weight bench in the garage. It's like Bruce Springsteen boombox, man. Where's my Wand of Watoom? Mom, where's my Wand of Watoom? This would be a more interesting final panel. It's really stupid. If Haywire was a woman. If I see that last panel and I'm like, oh, so that I could see that as like the new team because Ms. Marvel left, so we're down a female. It'd be kind of cool if the person that left from Squadron Supreme was a female and she's new and she doesn't know a lot about Earth and she doesn't know anybody there. So we get to do that thing where there's a new character on the team that is learning as we're learning kind of thing.
I really thought you said it's a female, she's nude. And I was like, I mean, that seems unnecessary, but...
I mean, eventually it's going to happen.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't know what happens with Haywire. I don't know if he comes back in the comic or what, but of all of the members to leave here, why are we leaving young Hawkeye with Tanglewire powers? I don't know.
I think we had discussed this before. I don't know if it was when Monica Rambeau had joined the team. It's always fun to look through the eyes of someone new. And you would think that we could kind of have that with Justice and Firestar, but the two of them are just constantly doing things together instead of being wondrous about what they are.
Well, Justice is wondrous.
A little bit, but to like, the point that it's annoying. And then Firestar is like the opposite of it, which kind of drags it down.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't even want to be there.
So true. All right, Jason, next week we're back in the main title.
So you say.
I do say. Let's introduced to two new characters.
No way.
Count them, two.
Two all at the same time. That's nuts.
It is crazy.
All right. Well, you know, you guys get some rest and, you know, you need to prepare for next week.
Yeah, because I have a lot of notes.
You should call off work. Like, it's going to be crazy. Crazy, I tell you.
Wait, I should call off work?
No, the people listening. Yeah, they need to rest up.
Oh, okay.
Stay hydrated, people. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is avenginghour@gmail.com. You can reach us on Instagram @TheAvengingHour. Let us know what t-shirts we should print. That'd be amazing. We will talk to you next week. The Avenging Hour. Let us know what t-shirts we should print. That'd be amazing. We will talk to you next week.